Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Bob Osborne, Associate Administrator for Information Management and Chief Information Officer at the National Nuclear Security Administration. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Barb Hudson. So, Bob, you've mentioned the critical importance of your agency strengthening its cybersecurity posture. I'd like to delve a little bit more into that. Would you elaborate on your efforts to secure the IT infrastructure of your organization? And more particularly, how does the Joint Cybersecurity Coordination Center, or JC3, and the Cyber Sciences Laboratory factor into your overall efforts in doing this?
Well, Michael, they're really key elements of our transformation. As I said, one of the tenets of our transformation is every IT investment has a cybersecurity outcome. But that's not good enough. We really have to be planning for the future. It's something that we as a society don't do well. We're pretty short attention span folks. We don't plan out in the future very well. Programmatically, we only really budget 5 years in advance. That's not a long time when you're talking about scientific research, for example. So I sat down with the team last year, and we started to talk about how are we currently organized to understand what's happening with our information on our systems and running across our networks. How might we make that better? And then what are we doing to harness the power of the national laboratories to help us be prepared for whatever comes next? So as we devised the architecture for 2NV, it was critical that we bring together three different organizations that are today looking at our enterprise from a little bit different perspective. But the problem when you have three different organizations looking at something, there's an opportunity for gaps. So this is where Mike Lukaitis, the DOE CIO, Bruce Held, the DOE Director of Intelligence, and I sat down and we said, okay, we each own a piece of this. And wouldn't it be grand if we all could shake hands and say, let's shove them all together and come up with a better product that does a more effective job of understanding what is going on in our networks, analyzing what the threat is against our information, and then provide an environment that increases our ability to collaborate and decreases our response time should there be an incident. Clearly sounds like a great idea. This is another one of those ideas that is really easy to sit here and say, really tough to actually do. But we embarked on that. And actually, on the 1st of October last year, we created what we call the JC3 Incubator. And that's basically one senior analyst from each of our shops sitting in the same room. So we've actually started down this path of increasing our awareness and our response capability. In its full instantiated realization will be a single organization that looks across the span of the department and is fully integrated in its response capabilities. And we're really excited about that. So that's that central pillar of the three-pillar strategy that I discussed earlier about understanding the health of our systems, information, and data. But once again, that's not enough. As I said earlier, we have a really challenging set of criteria in the NNSA. When you talk about nuclear weapons information, we're kind of skittish about it, the wrong folks getting a hold of that stuff. So looking out into the future and what's next, scientifically, we believe that there's great value to the nation to have a capability for sustained scientific research into cyber R&D. Both in mathematics, computer science, physical sciences, to get ahead of the bow wave, if you will, of what the advanced persistent threat might be doing and stay ahead. Much like the nation came together during the Manhattan Project to address nuclear issues and the weaponization of nuclear capability, we believe it's time for the nation to come together and focus resources of the national laboratory capabilities toward this significant threat in cyber.
So from an IT operations perspective, how have you sought to improve project management discipline and structure? What are some of the steps you've taken to instantiate better process, discipline, tools, best practices, all of those around that critical area of project management?
Great question, Barb. It's not an easy one. We had a very decentralized approach to project management previously. As I said, enterprise was previously defined as the individual site, as an individual enterprise. So at each site, there was a well-developed process. So I'm not saying that we didn't have good processes. We did, but they were localized and therefore different. So when you try to get an enterprise perspective and understand what each project schedule was, you ran into different formats, different reporting criteria. There was not a commonality across the board. What we're trying to implement this year, it will be in place next year, will be as part of our Eggmint process that we talked about earlier, is a common set of criteria and reporting schedules that will allow each of the projects, once they're approved through our overall process, to be assessed at the same intervals depending on the size of the project so that we understand how they're performing. Because another area where we have traditionally fallen short in the government is the ability to kill a bad performing program. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, we just throw more money at it and hope it gets well, right? Well, there's no more money to throw at things. So we have to be really smart about how we do this. I believe the project management team that we put together under Goody Bellman is really going to do a great job in that regard.
So, Bob, given your critical mission, I mean, the security of the nuclear stockpile, it's important to make sure nobody can get into it and the cyber threats and all the things that we talked about. But the other thing is, how are you enhancing and fostering successful information sharing across the extended energy community, and more particularly, changing the culture from a need to know to a culture of need to have?
I like the way you put that, because it really is a need to have information. And in cyber time, which is a real challenge. Events happen faster than we can react to them humanly, so there are tools that we want to put in place that will allow us to automatically respond to certain criteria. You can't do that in a dispersed architecture. You have to have some sort of a framework together that allow you to understand what's happening. That's where JC3 comes in. Mm-hmm. But the reason that the three pillars are shown together as our information transformation strategy is they really build upon one another. So if you brought together and harnessed the power of the cyber science lab and having the national laboratories work together in cyber R&D, that's really good. But how do you operationalize that? And that's been a challenge for our labs, is how do they operationalize the outcome of the research? Well, JC3 kind of provides that input into our operational CIOs at each of the M&O sites to be able to take advantage of the research that comes out of CSL. And that's good, but not as good as if you have a consolidated architecture, which the NNSA network vision provides, then JC3 has pathways through which to get that information and that coordination and collaboration out in cyber time. And you can put tools and automation in place that allow you to have an increased cybersecurity posture. So you can see how these things enhance one another when they're put together in context and in support of one another. In isolation, any one of the three is good. Together, they're fantastic.
Mobile computing is a versatile and potentially strategic technology that improves information quality and accessibility. It can also be a great enabler of shared IT services and can reduce the costs. What are you doing to build the next generation of mobile infrastructure within your agency?
Well, I'm doing everything I can, as fast as I can. The number one question I get from everyone on our staff at the headquarters is, when am I getting my iPad? And that's a good thing. Customer demand always helps us achieve our goals and rollout schedule. I'm actually one of the pilot users of the new technologies we're rolling out as part of 2NV's mobility policy. I've done several VTCs with the senior executive leadership and Tom DiAgostino on my iPad from my house already, which is a pretty big step forward for the NNSA. We now have all of our deputy administrators and associate administrators have iPads, and they have that same capability. So the mobility and the accessibility to their information from anywhere, we're getting there. The key element that's really going to get us to the next step and radically increase our cybersecurity posture is the rollout of our VDI. That's coming later this year. So when you combine mobility with the increased security that comes with the VDI offering, now you're starting to get to a mobile workforce that we're starting to see can become a virtual workforce. And what does that mean for an organization? We're starting to wrestle with that because we're pretty excited about what the possibilities might be, but we're on the cusp of the beginning of that transformation into a mobile and a more effective workforce.
Excellent. So that complexity and the diversity within all of your programs requires a range of analytical techniques and approaches to manage them effectively. Therefore, increasing the use of analytics and enhancing the analytical capabilities of your office is critical. Would you elaborate on current efforts to strengthen analytic capabilities within your office to better support these programs?
Yes, absolutely. Dashboards are huge. All of our senior management want dashboards. But dashboards are only as good as the feeds that are updating the information that is being presented. And those feeds rely on an architecture that enhances the real-time update from a reliable data source. Really hard to do today when you have 9 enterprises that view themselves independently. Causes huge integration problems for us. As we're moving forward, the ability for us to provide the information that we need to apply analytical tools that can give us real-time management capabilities that some of these fantastic software suites is a critical element of the 2NV rollout. Right now, the dashboards that we do provide are basically manually updated. They come from spreadsheets. It's 90s way of doing business. Until you fix the underlying architecture, you really can't reach the power of today's business analytics.
Well, Bob, you've given our audience and ourselves an understanding of the many things that you're doing to transform the IT infrastructure at your agency. You're doing this in an era of fiscal constraint and austerity. And so it's critical that agency leaders keep strategic focus and intent out there for their employees. How are you keeping employees focused and motivated, given some of the dramatic and painful changes that they're experiencing?
Yeah, that's a very sensitive subject for any leader. Certainly for us, as we go forward, the budget climate causes angst amongst most of the employees. They wonder if the program is going to be successful. Is it going to continue? We're very fortunate at NNSA. Tom DiAgostino and Neil Miller are committed to making this transformation work because we realize that the true efficiencies and increased effectiveness of the One NNSA initiative can only be realized through an IT transformation that'll support that one view of the enterprise. So while we don't have an increase in our budget, we have a stable budget right now. Mm-hmm. We're taking advantage of that by not being abusive of our request for additional resources. We're reinvesting monies that we are basically harvesting by collaboration, data center consolidation, ferreting out shadow IT and eliminating that duplication. But I don't mean to say that in a negative and pejorative way, because really any shadow IT is an indicator that your IT, your primary CIO's IT offerings are inadequate. Mm-hmm. So you have to address that so you have a viable alternative that'll bring the business units back into the corporate solution that allows you to reduce the cost of that IT spend that's coming out of somebody else's program. So we're doing that. And holistically, what that's allowing us to do is to continue our transformation within our current budget. Mm-hmm. We're very proud of that. I got some really smart folks that are working hard to make that happen. Not always easy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always easier if you had a little bit of extra money, but we don't. So we have to be really careful with how we do it. We're very selective and pretty meticulous in how we're going forward and how we're selecting particular solutions. And in some cases, you winnow down what your customer expectations are to make sure that you can achieve your outcomes.
I like to continue on the idea of the smart folks that you're talking about, the staff that makes your vision a reality. What are you doing to make sure that you have a well-trained technical workforce?
Great question. It's a challenge for any federal agency. One of my key concerns and challenges is attracting and retaining quality IT workforce. We do that by making sure that we have an effective training and growth program so that folks see that there's upward mobility within the organization. We have a pretty extensive training offering program that allows folks to go off to training at different levels depending on their grade and their duties. But we do support that budget, and we maintain that because we believe that's an investment in our future just as much as the cyber sciences lab is an investment in protecting our information future. If you would ask our folks, that you would find that we have created a climate that makes them feel valued, that their contributions are recognized, and that they see upward mobility within the NNSA towards leadership positions. But it's really hard to keep them in the current budget climate when you have federal pay freezes and enticement from external agencies to get those really key smart folks out of the government and working for someone else. But like I said before, we have a compelling mission. When you really get into what NNSA does, what we're responsible for, we do some pretty cool stuff, and our folks get excited about what we're doing. And the NNSA network vision transformation, you know, bringing mobility, bringing device agnosticity, changing to a VDI and a thin client deployment, this is exciting. The cybersecurity JC3 initiative and really ramping up that capability is exciting to folks. And that helps you know, keep them interested in working for us.
Actually, with all that tremendous amount of change that you're dealing with, both with the transformation and the budget constraints, folks leaving, retiring, what have you, how do you retain that institutional memory and that knowledge? And really, what is your knowledge management strategy?
It's really, really a great question. It's something that we wrestle with. Each of our sites have had, for some period of time, very robust knowledge management and knowledge capture programs in place. As the scientific knowledge base that was involved in the original Manhattan Project are now, most of them are passed away. Many are in the last portions of their career. We now at the headquarters recognize the power of the tools that have been developed in the field. And this is a theme that you see throughout our transformation. Rather than inventing everything new, we're trying to take advantage of some pretty well-developed and well-thought-out processes and programs at each of the sites that were developed by some of the smartest people in the world. This is one of those. We really didn't have that level of understanding of knowledge drain, if you will, at the senior management headquarters level and what the impact on the organization would be. But really, in order to be most effective in NNSA, you have to understand the holistic mission and activities of the administration's duties. You don't get that overnight. We have some amazing people who have been with NNSA for 15, 20, 40 years now who are getting ready to move on either into retirement or other pursuits, that if we don't capture that knowledge on the federal side, we're going to lose a great deal of capability. Like I said, our MNOs have figured that out. They're already mining the data of the smart scientists. We're going to mimic that, bring those programs into the federal side, and make sure that we capture some of the great minds, such as Jay Kavanaugh, who's one of our great federal leaders, who's going to be retiring shortly. And we want to make sure that, you know, we can suck all that knowledge out of his brain and store it somewhere.
What does the future hold for information technology at the U.S. National Nuclear Security Administration? We will ask its Chief Information Officer, Bob Osborne, when our conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.